Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by. Welcome to Innergex Renewable Energy's conference call for the 2014 third quarter results and mid-year review. Bienvenue à la conférence téléphonique des résultats du troisième trimestre 2014 d'Innergex Énergie Renouvelable. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session for analysts and institutional investors, and instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up for questions. If anyone has any difficulties hearing the conference, please press star followed by zero for operator assistance at any time. I would like to remind everyone that this conference call is being recorded today, Friday, November 7th, 2014, at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. I will now turn the conference over to Marie-Josée Prévic, Director, Investor Relations and Sustainable Development. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here today with Michel Letellier, President and CEO of Innergex, and Mr. Jean Trudel, Chief Investment Officer and Senior Vice President Communications. Also joining us is Mr. Jean Perron, Chief Financial Officer and Senior Vice President. Please note that the presentations will be in English. However, you're welcome to address your questions either in French or English. Vous êtes les bienvenus à poser vos questions en français. I would also like to point out that journalists are invited to call us afterwards if they wish to address any questions. In a minute, Mr. Letellier will provide an update on our operating activities, and Mr. Trudel will provide some details on our financial results to September 30th, 2014. We will then open the Q&A session with all three senior executives. The financial statements and the MD&A have been filed on SEDAR and are readily accessible via the Internet, and you may also access the press release, financial statements, and the MD&A on the Innergex website in the Investors section. During this conference call, we will refer to financial measures such as adjusted EBITDA, free cash flow, and payout ratio that are not recognized measures according to international financial reporting standards, as they do not have a standardized meaning. Also, please be advised that this conference call will contain forward-looking information that reflects the corporation's expectations with respect to future results or developments. For explanations concerning the principal assumptions used by the corporation to derive this forward-looking information and the principal risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those anticipated, I invite you to consult the first pages of the corporation's MD&A as well as our annual information form. I now turn the conference to Michel Letellier.
Thank you, Marie-Josée. Good morning, everybody. So happy with the result, besides a little bit of low hydrology still in this quarter. But October and November seems to be picking up a lot. Jean Trudel will give you a little bit more flavor on those. Happy also to see that our operation and machine and the availability was great. So that's always important for us, making sure that we're doing the right thing in order to have those machines available, and our operation teams are doing a great job on that aspect, so I'm very happy to report on that too. This quarter has been very busy in terms of construction activities. If we go a little bit over the project that we have, if you remember, we have four hydroelectric projects in BC being under construction, and we have one wind project in Quebec being in the very late stage of development. We're going to start construction in a few weeks by clearing trees, so I'll get to each of the projects very quickly. Upper Lillooet and Boulders is a cluster representing a little bit more than 115 megawatt of project in BC. These two projects are advancing very well. If you remember, we had a little bit of a challenge establishing all the infrastructure for the temporary camp for the crew. Just a little small reminder, we will have about, and we had about 350 crew members on site, so it's a little village that we had to build in the middle of the wood. With all that constraint that one can imagine, but everything has been finalized in the, and people moved in the camp in mid-July. That was a great, milestone, because obviously traveling and communication had a little bit of a challenge before the camp being occupied. So from mid-July, everything went on the fifth gear, and works have advanced very well during the last period. Very good progress on both projects. The diversion of the water in Upper Lillooet is now being done, so that's a big milestone as well. Transmission line is advancing. The powerhouse are up from the ground as well. All the portal and tunnel works have been initiated, and we have gone through the, I guess the most difficult part is starting the tunnel. So things are looking very well on Upper Lillooet and Boulder as well. If we're moving to Treadaway, it's a little bit smaller project, but nonetheless always interesting to see. We have, if you remember, selected a local contractor for, that was the first time we were working with this contractor. It's called Jim Dent. He has proven to be a very efficient and very easy to work with, very collaborative in terms of finding solutions. So very very happy on the mood of on that site. Things are to some degree maybe a little bit in advance in terms of schedule in our budget. So very happy on Treadaway. We still are focusing on putting that project in commercial operation this year. Seems everything in line to do so. Big Silver, as you remember, we had started a little bit later the construction, but so far the contractor that was the same as Upper Lillooet and Boulder, and CRT is part of that joint venture between two Quebec-based contractors, CRT and ABC. CRT had done for us Northwest Ave and Kayak, and they have put the same management team on their side, and we have put the same management team on our side that Kayak. So communication is has been great on that job too, and they have catch up with the delay given that given the fact that they had started a little bit late. They are catching up very fast, and everything is being well done on site, and very happy on the advance schedule. We're going to start the tunneling with the crew that are stopping in Upper Lillooet for winter time. That crew is moving to Big Silver, and we're going to start the tunneling at the end of this month. So far, Big Silver doing looking very well as well. But also very happy to report on Mexic-Ugjuksun project called MU, a little bit easier to remember. That's a 150-megawatt wind farm in Quebec. If you remember, we are partner with the Mi'kmaq First Nation on that project. I think that we had been a little bit conservative in establishing our budget with MU. Given the fact that there's a lot of competition for wind turbine, and I would describe that as a buyer market for us, and we have taken advantage of those situation in the marketplace, and we have been able to select the Savion 3.2 megawatt machine with 114 meter of diameter. That machine is very well suited for the site. We had initially thought to use the 2.2 megawatt machine with 92 meter of diameter, and Savion made it available, the 3.2, which to some degree has a better ratio of production per dollar. So all the matrix, financial matrix of MU project seems to be improved quite a bit. We are also very happy to report that we had the governmental decree that conclude all the environmental public process. So now we can access all the administrative permit and start construction as soon as later this month on that project. We're going also to issue call of tender for the balance of plant. We think that it's also a buying opportunity for us. There's a lot of competition and not that much work for the big construction crew that are specialized in wind in Quebec. So again, we anticipate to have pleasant or good surprise in terms of pricing regarding the balance of plant. So far, The EMU project seems to be improving on all financial metrics, and schedule is not an issue at all. So very happy to report on that as well. We also been busy in applying for and preparing submission for the Quebec RFP 450 megawatt call. Just a very quick reminder, that's 450 megawatts split theoretically, with 300 megawatt being allotted to exclusively to Bas-Saint-Laurent in the Gaspé Peninsula area, and 150 megawatt anywhere in Quebec. So we have been focusing ourselves on Bas-Saint-Laurent and Gaspésie. We have four sites, but we have made five proposals with different variables. That represents a little bit more than 100 megawatt worth of submission. Obviously, it'll, as you probably have seen, there's a lot of players, very competitive RFPs. What we can say is that we've been true to ourselves. We have been very diligent in preparing all the costing and long-term forecast. We're happy with the prices that we have submitted. I think they're competitive. But we have used our view of how much it costs and how much it should be getting any return. So we're positive, and we're happy again with the submission we have done, but very competitive process. So we are going to be anxious to know the result. We expect the result from Hydro-Québec to be somewhere in the beginning of 2015. Initially, it was supposed to be before Christmas, but the submission date was delayed by 2 months. So if we had up the same delay to the conclusion of Hydro-Québec, that would put us somewhere in February. So on that note, I would obviously I'll be available for answering questions later on. So I'm going to switch to Jean-Trudel.
All right. Merci, Michel. Good morning, everyone. During the third quarter, which in terms of production normally accounts for 28% of the year, the corporation's facilities produced 827 gigawatt hour of electricity, so it's a 17% increase compared to the same quarter of 2013. The increase in production is mainly attributable to the addition of Magpie Hydro facility acquired in July 2013, the addition of Cahier Creek and Northwest Dave Hydro facilities commissioned at the end of 2013, and the addition of SM1 Hydro acquired in June 2014. So for the three-month period, production was at 97% of long-term average, basically stronger than expected wind regimes in Quebec, coupled with a positive contribution from hydro facilities and the solar facility all located in Ontario, were just not sufficient to offset the below-average water flows that at our hydroelectric facilities located in BC and Quebec. But nonetheless, it's a fairly close to LTA quarter. So for the quarter, revenues increased by 14% to $66.4 million, and adjusted EBITDA increased 11% to $51.7 million compared to the same period last year. In view of the current request for proposals in Quebec, the 2015 request for proposal in Ontario, for which actually we're glad to announce that we've been qualified on November 4, and also other development initiatives such as the partnership agreement to develop six hydro projects in BC with the Inshux Nation, our prospective project expenses increased to $1.6 million this quarter compared to $0.7 million in 2013. Also, as it could be expected, the decline in benchmark rates during the quarter negatively impacted the mark-to-market value of our hedging instruments by $6.9 million, which is a non-cash expense. And also concurrently with the closing of the long-term financing for Tritaway Creek, the corporation realized a loss on derivatives of $8.4 million in favor of a lower than expected fixed rate on this $93 million financing for the construction period plus 40 years. So if we include these losses on derivatives, the corporation reported a net loss of $4.5 million for the quarter, but excluding the derivative losses and the related income taxes, net earnings for the three-month period would have been $7.1 million compared to net earnings of $9.7 million in 2013. That leads us to a payout ratio for the last 12-month period at 113% compared to 89% in 2013. This variation can be mainly explained by the production that was lower than a long-term average, which of course affected revenues and cash flows. If the facilities had performed at long-term average, the payout ratio would have been close to closer to 93%. The outlook for October is very very good, actually, and even the beginning of November is good. If we look at October, even if it's only a month, so we have to be cautious, but it's quite positive with very strong hydrology in BC, in Ontario, and also above average in Quebec, and with the wind segment performing very close to the long-term average. So overall production for the month of October is standing at 133% of long-term average. In terms of financing, during the quarter, we closed the non-recourse project financing for the Tritaway Creek project. The terms and conditions were more favorable than expected, which allowed the corporation to fix a lower than expected interest rate and to borrow substantially more at the project level, even when we account for the payment of the realized loss on derivatives. And also on November 6, we amended our revolving term credit facility to extend its maturity by 1 year to 2019 and to temporarily increase its size to $475 million for an 8-month period. So basically, we've done this amendment to provide us with additional flexibility to negotiate the best terms and conditions for the very important financings of Upper Lillooet Hydropower and Big Silver. In case of the Upper Lillooet financing, we have received several interesting offers from different group of lenders at this point, and we are presently analyzing these offers, and we expect to close the financings in Q1 2015, along with Big Silver. So I'm turning back the line to Michel, who will conclude with some additional remarks.
Yeah, just want to make sure that we're coming back to our basis and the fundamental of Innergex. As you all know, we have focus on long-term. We have 100% of our contract under EPA. We have more than 20 years average remaining on our young portfolio of assets that are a majority of hydro. We are fully hedged on our project finance, fully amortized over the period of the initial first term of the EPA. We have built-in growth in our portfolio that will basically increase by 30% our installed capacity. All these five projects are now under construction, and they will enable us to bring our EBITDA from $150 million of EBITDA to about $300 million by 2017, and all that without any equity. Just also, I think that we are in a great industry. We're fully 100% renewable energy that has a great potential of being part of the solution of global warming. Very proud to be in that business. Thank you.
This completes the presentation part of the conference call. We now invite you to ask your questions. Nous vous invitons à poser vos questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now conduct a question and answer session. If you have a question, please press the star followed by the one on your touch tone phone. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. Your questions will be pulled in the order they are received. Please ensure you lift the handset if you're using a speakerphone before pressing any keys. One moment, please, for your first question. Your first question comes from the line of Rupert Merer with National Bank. Your line is open.
Good morning, everyone.
Hey, good morning, Rupert.
Good morning.
Michelle, can we talk a little about the construction pipeline and in particular the hydro portfolio? Can you talk about your confidence in the construction costs, where there may be remaining risks in those costs and how you're managing the costs?
Well, the obviously in construction, mainly in hydro, tunnel is always the, I guess, one of the risky part. I think that we have been fairly conservative in establishing the last budget, although there's always possibility, but we remain with some contingency. as a portfolio, and I'm not saying that none of those will have little hiccups here and there, but as a portfolio, I think that we're well into what we perceive to be a good and conservative budget. So I'm not expecting as a portfolio to see any material increase for the end of these projects. And as I was mentioning, I think that you guys could read between the lines that the MU project seems to be heading towards something being probably materially lower than what we anticipated as well.
All right, great. Now, when you talk about contingency on those construction costs, if you is there any potential you could come under budget then?
On a total portfolio, including MU, I'm confident that we're very conservative in our total construction costs for the total portfolio of what we have now in the five project that we have, very, very confident.
Great. And then just as a quick follow-up, you had a slight change in the Trithewey capacity and production estimates in this quarter. Can you talk about the optimization process on that project and the others and how much flexibility there is in the project specifications at this point?
Well, this one is a little bit specific because BC Hydro is trying, and as you probably have seen, they're trying to minimize any capacity increase on the EPA. We think that then we have the intention to fully exercise of our right. We think that in the case of Chetui, we have the ability to increase by 10% the install capacity, and we will have, the machine will have the capacity to do 10% more than the public or the, I mean, the what
disclosed
we are,
figure.
The disclosed figure, thank you. But we have to go through some proceeding with BC Hydro. I think that the EPA is very, very clear, and we have the full intention to go and exercise and our right on that aspect. So that's why you have seen maybe this little discrepancy in the installed capacity of Tritui.
Okay, so there could be some further changes to that, but possibly to the upside in the future.
Yes.
Okay, I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Sean Stewart with TD Securities. Your line is open.
Thanks. Good morning, everyone. A couple of questions. Michelle, can you address, I guess, the strategy in your bidding for the Quebec RFP? You noted several submissions that you have. Just trying to get context on, and I appreciate you probably can't get into details, but any context you can provide on price variance across the bids and a bit more context on the strategy of the multiple bids you submitted?
Yes, well, we could be here for a long time, you know, as you can imagine that it's a little bit complicated, but what we've tried is that making sure that we have selected a turbine supplier that we were very confident in, with, that has the best potential to have the biggest local content, because this is quite important for us. We believe in Energex that the long-term viability of the industry in Quebec is through making sure that these calls are effective in creating local jobs. So we were focusing on making sure that the turbine supplier would utilize to the maximum possible the existing facility that are already in production in the Gaspé Peninsula and the Bas-Saint-Laurent. So that was one part, making sure that we wanted to have the full economic benefit for the local area. Second is making sure that we would have good side with wind, obviously, but also making sure that we would have also the ability to interconnect at the competitive rate. We have one project, the Mars Suite, that doesn't seem to have a lot of competition that are, I would say, acceptable to the rules of Hydro-Quebec. So this one could be interconnect for sure by 2017. The other Bas-Saint-Laurent project, KRT, and Les Basques, so far Hydro-Québec has not been able to, guarantee interconnection by 2017. So our strategy was to make Massoui being competitive, attractive, and in this instance we have provided three variables in terms of capacity. One has to understand that Hydro-Québec will try to have the best portfolio in terms of price, interconnection, and local jobs into the 450 megawatts. So that doesn't mean that they will select all the best project. They will try to have the best cost-effective portfolio for 450 megawatts. So we were trying to make some variable in terms of install capacity to provide flexibility to Hydro-Québec in order to make up for a the best portfolio. We also have provided an alternative to our expansion of MU. Mind you that we had to compensate for our First Nation partner, because if we were to build the extension in the MU project, we would have had some effect on the production. So that was taken into consideration when bidding into making sure that the first phase of MU would have been made whole in any loss of future revenue because of the expansion. So all in all, I think that what we've tried to do is making sure that our project that were submitted were very well supported by also local stakeholder. We had an extensive discussion with the local group. We were the first to sign the what we call the Alliance. The Alliance is the all the MRC from the Bas-Saint-Laurent and the Gaspésie Peninsula came to a together as a one group, and being the partner of choice, or the only partner available for the Bas-Saint-Laurent and the Gaspé Peninsula. Just a reminder that we have to have a 50% partner in this RFP. So we made a lot of effort making sure that we were meeting all the criteria with our local partner, and we did the public consultation on all our site. They were all positive and well received. So we're proud of what we have done. Can we be sure of being a winner? No, but I can assure you that we have put forward a great proposal, a very cost-effective proposal. I think that the government and Hydro-Québec will be very surprised, positively surprised to see the prices from the industry. And it's only good to see that price of electricity produced by wind is coming down. And I don't think it's a big secret, but price will be below the 9 cents by far. And I think that this is a good testimony that wind can be competitive in the future.
That's great detail. I appreciate it. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Kelsey Roast with RBC Capital Markets. Your line is open.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I just had a couple of questions. I wanted to follow up with that was great color on the Quebec Wind RFP. And, Michelle, you had alluded to some potential delays from Hydro-Québec not being able to provide interconnection. I was wondering, in general, do you believe that for the majority of the projects you submitted, the schedule very tight to meet the 2017 and the 2016 timeframe?
2016 is tight. There's some places where, as an example, MU project wouldn't have any problem because it's just an extension of the existing work that Hydro-Québec is doing. I cannot comment on Hydro-Québec ability, but it's always a little bit of the, I would say, the gray area in these calls. And it's not only Hydro-Québec, it's BC Hydro is a little bit the same. They're just providing guidelines when we bid. Things can change depending on their schedule and the focus they want to put into their crew. But it's something that we don't control. KRT and Les Basques, which are the biggest public site in the Bas-Saint-Laurent, theoretically, Hydro-Québec would have some limitation to be able to provide interconnection by 2017. That can be, I guess, changed throughout the process, and I'm sure that top management of Hydro-Québec might challenge some of the other division in the initial scheduling, but that's something that we cannot control.
Thank you. I guess also just not the Hydro-Québec, do you foresee any potential delays with obtaining environmental permits that may delay the process?
Not in ours. I cannot comment on, obviously, the other project, but what we have done through our experience of developing wind in Quebec, as you know, we have been able to permit more than 7 projects in Quebec lately. We have done a very detailed micro-siting of wind. We have looked into all the fatal flaw concerning birds or other mammal in the area. As an example, Marsouis, we had to relocate initially some of the turbine because of the caribou des bois. Extended range could have been close to some of our turbines, so we have made sure that in advance we would have moved these wind turbine location to a safer location for that mammal. So we have done very detailed work in our analysis, so that I'm very, very confident that if we're selected by Hydro-Québec, we can deliver and obtain all the permitting in due time to deliver the projects.
Great, thank you. So last quarter, you guys had mentioned that you had informed Hydro-Québec that you would like to renew the 7-megawatt hydro PPA that expires December 1st. I was wondering if you could just provide any comment on if Hydro-Québec has got back to you with respect to the economics.
Yes, that's not only us. As you might know, in there were a wave of contracts signed in Hydro-Québec. We called it the APR 91. The RFP of 1991. That was the genesis of the IPP in Quebec. So there were about, close to 300 megawatt of small hydro that have been signed throughout those period of 5 to 6, 7 years that that program lasted. There are some that have been due to renew. And there were some ongoing discussion with other member of our industry, and under the association called ACPER here in Quebec, we have made some discussion and initial negotiation with Hydro-Québec. It seems to be evident, given the fact that those are public contract, and given the fact that in Quebec there's I guess challenges in terms of budget and making sure that the Liberal government are focused on providing good fiscal management, that it'd be hard for Hydro-Québec to provide very generous rates. So negotiation are difficult. But there's a process of arbitration that is built in into our EPA, and right now I think that's going to be the way to solve these problems. There's a few projects that are in front of us in terms of arbitration scheduling. And we're following those, and we're exchanging in terms of member of the industry. But I think that the decision will be governed by an arbitration decision to solve these renewal prices.
That's great. Thank you. Do you have any thoughts on the potential timing for this?
Yes. The first arbitration process will start somewhere in December, and they may take a few months to get through the full process. I would imagine that some activities or decision will be done by somewhere March or April. In the meantime, we're going to get ready to have our own arbitration. That should start somewhere, June or April next year, if not later. In the meantime, Hydro-Québec has taken the approach of keeping the rates as just a continuity of the EPA. They have done that for almost 2 years for the first project that have been come to, renewal date. We expect that Hydro-Québec will do the same with our Saint-Paulin projects.
That's great. Thank you, and I'll leave it there.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if there are any additional questions at this time, please press star followed by the number 1. As a reminder, if you are using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before pressing the keys. Ms. Privik, there are no further questions at this time.
Thank you, and thank you, everyone. We appreciate this opportunity to provide an update on our company, and please do not hesitate to contact us if you have any other questions.
Merci à tous. Nous apprécions cette occasion de faire une mise à jour de nos activités, et n'hésitez pas à communiquer avec nous si vous avez d'autres questions.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our conference call. Please note that a replay of the conference call will be available on the Innergex website later today. Thank you. You may now disconnect your line.